Fellow Freedom fans, we're back with the Faith and Freedom Show. I'm David Allen Carmichael on the Eagle 104.3 FM. Before the break, we were talking about something that's before the Florida legislature. It's HM 19. It's a memorial. It's a remonstrance challenging, we're not sure what yet, the people or the legislature or the Congress. We're not really sure what it's doing, but I think at least somebody will be reading it and reviewing it. I think it's pretty important. There's somebody locally that's involved in these things. On the Ocala Star article that I read that brought this brought my attention to this HM 19, there's some local folks who are involved. In fact, one person was interviewed for the article. Donnie Barber is a local guy. In fact, if you go on the 10thAmendmentCenter.org or .com, I'm sorry, you can find some organizations in Florida that are in on this issue. Donnie Barber is a local guy. He serves as executive director of the Sovereignty Action Committee, the SAC. He's been sacked, which was formed in May by a handful of Marion County residents who yearn for Florida to reverse what they see as decades-old usurpation of its home rule ability. I would say supplantation. It's gone beyond usurpation and gone to the point of supplantation. Here's a statement made by James Madison when he was talking to the Virginia Ratifying Convention of the U.S. Constitution. He said, "I believe there are more instances of the abridgment of the freedom of the people by gradual and silent encroachments of those in power than by violent and sudden usurpations." He believed there is more instances of abridgment of freedom of the people by gradual and silent encroachments of those in power than by violent and sudden usurpations. Well, recently, there's more of that. I would say there's more abridgment of the people, but when we were not vigilant, what happened? It gives those in power an opportunity to have a violent and sudden usurpation. The banking bailout issue is just screamingly an example of a violent and sudden usurpation. And it was knee-jerk. It was panic. It was impassioned. It wasn't something that was done thoughtfully. You know, it was really knee-jerk. Well, somebody had been thinking about it for a while, I don't doubt. But I think Congress responded. It just appears to me that they don't have a solid foundation. There's a great number in Congress who don't have the same perspective I do. I have a perspective that we're accountable to God for what we do, and that we're going to serve. Whoever wants to be greatest among us must be a servant of all. That's what Jesus said. So that's the perspective that I have. And I think it's true, and I think we're going to bear fruit depending on what we do. I think that what's happening is we have a narcissistic society. A narcissistic society. And there are things that we'll be talking about later. We're going to talk about symptoms of narcissism. We're going to find out what the definition of narcissism is, and then we're going to just have a little fun with it. It's kind of sad to have fun with narcissism, but hopefully we're going to challenge people to not be so narcissistic. But when members of Congress are out there doing things just knee-jerk, and they're pandering to their power and pandering to the power brokers and those who would continue to elevate them, well, I need to do this because I need to be elevated because I have good things I want to do, and I can't do them unless I compromise my convictions. In fact, I was talked to a state legislator. It was not in the state of Florida. But there was this notorious bill that was being passed in a certain state. It was so screamingly in violation of the state's constitution, the way it was put together. They don't just have a single subject rule like in Florida. They had a single object rule. So it could be under the subject of transportation or the subject of, something like that. But it couldn't just be under the subject. It had to be have the object of something within the subject. What happened is thing had dozens of dangerous innovations that were all put together in this bill in the last hour, and these single objects should have been in the title. The only thing it mentioned in the title about any object was to institute a bond. I mean, that was, and I'm telling you, the vast majority of the bill had nothing to do with bonds, and it was creating little mini governments in the states and things like that, so it violated the single object rule just very clearly, which makes the entire bill completely void. And one of the things I did when I reviewed who voted on it, there were 100 people voting, and 85 voted yes, 15 voted no. I began to interview those who voted no. I said, "Delegate, why did you vote no?" He says, "Because it was wrong. It was wrong." He said, "It was in the last hour. We only had an hour to look at it, and it was huge." He says, "There's no debate," and he said, "It was wrong." And so that's why he voted. I talked to some others. I talked to some that I was surprised why they voted yes. And they said, "Well, I just realized it would be pushed back down to the locality. If the locality rejected it, then, you know, there'd be no harm done. So I just passed it because it was only going to them. And I was told that if I did not vote yes, I would not be here next year." Well, the guy that voted no was told the same thing. "If you do not vote yes, you will not be here next year." And so what happened is the guys with the power play, the guys with the power in their party, in the individual parties, these guys were on different parties. One voted yes, one voted no. The Democrat voted no, and the Republican voted yes. And there were Republicans that voted no, but I mean, it was pretty even mix across the party lines of those who voted no, but it was 15 of them. And everyone that I talked to were told, "I was told if I don't vote yes, I won't be here next year." And so there were threats made. And then so the guy that voted yes, he said, "Well, I'm necessary." He says, "I'm a pro-life voice here. And if I'm not back here, you know, who's going to stand, you know, well, maybe somebody else have a pro-life voice." But the other thing is, what convictions are you willing to sell for something? See, my perspective is if we stand, if we continue to stand and to stand and to stand and to stand, we're going to keep our foundation solid. The walls will not fall. But what's happening is they're coaxing folks in the legislature to pull out blocks out of the wall. "Well, we'll let you keep this one little block here, but you've got to pull out all these other ones." Guess what? The wall goes down, buddy. Your favorite block will remain, sort of. What's it going to stand on? That's what I remember of this bill. And the fifth, and guess what? One of the guys who is very powerful in one of the parties who was going around telling people, "You will not be here next year." And he was basically going to see to it that they weren't there next year, that the party would undermine them. Well, guess who didn't come back the next year? The guy making the threats, it turned out, didn't come back next year. The people up, basically, there was kind of a voter uprising. And he was defeated in his own party's primary by grassroots human beings like me and you. So that was what was going on there. And the whole point of this is when we send somebody to the legislature, that it's very important that they are not allowing a gradual and silent encroachment of others in power. And that because eventually what's going to happen is if we let the little blocks of our wall go, eventually there's going to be a sudden and violent usurpation, as using the words of James Madison. You're listening to the Eagle 104.3 FM. I'm David Allen Carmichael. This is the Faith and Freedom Show, and we're going to talk about the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. Now, there's something about this HM 19. As I said a few minutes ago, just for those of you tuning in, I was talking about HM 19. It's House Memorial number 19 that's being put before the Florida legislature for the next session. And it talks about, well, I'll just quote from it. "Whereas Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution of the United States begins, the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a Republican form of government. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people." Now, their point here that they're doing with this HM 19, they're trying to remind somebody. I'm trying to figure out who. Is it they're reminding Congress? Do they want we the people to remind Congress, or do they want we the people of Florida to remind the legislature of Florida, or do they want the legislature of Florida to remind Congress? The wording here is a bit ambiguous here. So let's see. Essentially, what we're looking at is there's a statement that came out of New York versus United States, important case, 1992 case, that Congress does not have the authority to simply commandeer the state's legislative processes by compelling the states to enact and enforce federal regulatory programs. I will tell you, though, if you read New York versus the United States and you read the Federalist Papers, that the federal government can bait the states. They have the authority to bait the states. Now, what's really sick is where they're getting the money. Okay, the states have allowed the federal government to basically come in and fleece the people so that all the money that I guess would have otherwise been available to the state is in the coffers of the federal government. So then what happens is the states have to go to the federal government to get money. States, you're not supposed to do that. You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to get your operating funding from the people of Florida, not from Congress. Because you know what? They're taking it from somebody else who might not be in Florida. See, that's what's really sick about this. You might be getting money from somebody in Montana or New Mexico or West Virginia. That's where you're getting your money, Florida, sometimes. See, that's kind of creepy. Congress can bait the states. Now, what I think what should happen in commerce and things, when they've got a partnership over interstate highways and things like that, and there's a federal tax and state tax and stuff like that, well, I think it's good that you're getting some of the money from the federal government because they're getting the tax because of their interstate commerce thing, and they're using your property and they're wearing out your road. So I could see that happening. But to be going to the federal government for something else, for some kind of social program or something like that, where are they getting the money? Is it from Floridians? I don't know. Is anybody doing the bean count to figure out how much money's coming from Florida? See, originally in the Constitution, the federal government was going to put a direct tax on Florida, directly tax Florida, not the people of Florida, but Florida, if for their income tax, so to speak. It was a direct tax on Florida. And then Florida would figure out how they'd raise it. They could do a sales tax. They could just tax, you know, every cigarette sold in Florida, and they could pay the coffers of the federal government. And that money was just there to take care of the federal government's needs. What's happening now is there's been this sweeping power that has basically sucked up every person in the United States and of America, the entire nation, and then is taking all this money and all these funds, and then they're doling it out to Florida. That's not the way the Constitution was designed. So something's run amok, and it's complacency, I think, is what's driving us. Hey, those of you who are listening to the Eagle 104.3 FM for the Liberty Works Radio Network, I'm David Allen Carmichael. I talk about the issues of the day from a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. So here's this House Memorial, HM 19, that's here proposed for the next legislature session. It says, be resolved by the legislature of the state of Florida. Okay, so it is resolved by the legislature of the state of Florida, even though it's voiced in the words of we the people. That the legislature claims sovereignty under the 10th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States over all powers not otherwise enumerated and granted to the federal government by the Constitution of the United States. Now, what I'm daring them here, we're going to see what happens. Florida, if you're really willing to do this, you realize you can't do it in hypocrisy. You have to then change your behavior so that you are not giving over your protected rights. See, you don't get rights don't get taken, they get yielded. That's sort of what happens. They get yielded. And in many cases, they don't just get yielded. They're actually offered up on a silver platter from the person giving them over. And we're going to take a break here. Got to take a break for a commercial break so those people who run the radio station can continue to eat. So this is the Eagle 104.3 FM. When we come back, we're going to further investigate this concept about holding the federal and state government accountable to the Constitution. We shall return.